Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Okay, men. You know, the Bible tells us, gentlemen, that all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto us in the exceeding great and precious promises of God's Word. And that would include the instructions on stewarding our hearts, our minds, our eye gates, etc. And in particular, in the way of how we view women. May God bless each of us to view women as He does, and to view them as precious, weaker vessel creations of God that are there to protect, to provide for, to cherish, and to bless. In fact, spontaneously, let me say this. Yesterday, I was out walking around a lake in this area, and a guy was creeping up on this young lady and doing a little bit too much staring in a predatory way. So I warned her and kept an eye on her and looked for that guy again. He drove away. But, you know, we're here to protect women, the women and children around us, and we're not to be those who are predatory toward them or lustful.
In fact, we are to protect them from predators.
Women aren't to be an object of our sexual lust. And let's talk about that a little bit. Just had a great conversation with a dear brother named Jeremy, and we were talking about and praying about this. You know, God made us attracted to the opposite sex. In fact, if you're not, you've got a serious problem, and yet we aren't to take that out of the biblical context, the context given by God to us in order to keep us safe. Sin is never safe. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You'll recall in the Garden of Eden when everything was pristine before sin entered, and God told the man and the woman that if they sinned against Him by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die or be separated from Him and outside of His blessed protection and blessings. Some people like to say, you know, it's like an umbrella. As long as you're in the will of God, and the will of God is the Word of God, you're under the protection of God. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Notice Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that speaks of an intimate abiding relationship with Christ, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a blessing to dwell and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a blessing. There are so many verses in Scripture that convey this truth. I believe it's Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, this may be a message that causes you to realize you're outside of the will of God, or hanging around on the edge of it, and flirting with disaster per se, but perhaps God would quicken you to run into the arms of the Lord and be safe. And the way you do that is you apprehend His wisdom and instructions through His Word, and depend on His divine enablement in your life, His grace working in your life to bring you to the place where He wants you to be, which is clear and stated in His Word. You know, as I shared with Brother Stephen this morning over a good fellowship and coffee, I often have to stop, and, you know, some of us are slow learners. I would say I am in many ways, and to stop and just pray about things and say, Lord, I need your direction. I need your wisdom. I need you to open or close doors according as they are pleasing to you. And I ask you to do that, Father, because you said, Jesus, that whatever door you open, no man can close. And whatever door you close, no man can open. I got to tell you, you guys, I love that scripture. Whenever you pray in scripture and according to scripture, you're praying the word, the will of God. Boom. There's nothing to doubt. It's absolutely certain to be the will of God. And that's why he gave it to us in his word, which says his word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. So God's word is our direction and our wisdom. It's his, but we should own it. And that's what he's called us to do. You know, a lot of people run around and say, I just want to hear the voice of God. A lot of younger Christians, I think we probably got, all of us got into that at some point. And it's almost like a transcendental meditation kind of presentation where, well, I just want to be alone and be quiet and hear the voice of God. I don't think so, guys. I don't know that we so much as have that specific example in the Bible. You just pray, you study the word, and you live your life. You walk forward, and he's going to direct your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So instead of sitting there trying to numb yourself out like the pagans do, just get in the word. You want the voice of God? Study the word of God. The word of God is the truth, is the voice of God, is the wisdom of God, is the fountain of his divine wisdom. Amen. And your life and your prayer life are going to go accordingly as you know and apply his word to every part of your life. Amen. Job said this concerning lust, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So Job is making a covenant with his eyes so that he doesn't lust after women. Notice Psalm 101. What a fabulous psalm this is. Very short, but let's read it. Psalm 101. And let me just stop before we get into this. There is no way that you're going to overcome lust outside of the working of God in your life. God works in us. He does things from the heart, and he will establish our hearts with his grace. And the best thing we can do at this point, Father, let's just do it together, men. Father, we pray that you would multiply your grace to our hearts and let our hearts be established in your grace, Lord. Bless us to be pure in heart, for it's then that we see God, as Jesus said. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Notice David was a full counsel believer, unlike so many today who just want to hear and talk about love and miracles and mercy and never judgment or hell or the cross or anything like that. You see, they are imbalanced and they're headed off a cliff. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity, the severe judgment of God. Romans chapter 11, 20 through 22. Psalm 101:1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. See, David acknowledges that God is with him and that he wants to be blessable with the presence of God. And so he's acknowledging that God's with him even when no man can see him. And I believe that's part of what he means by saying, I will walk within my house. Your house is your sovereign dwelling place. That's a gift and a blessing from God for you and or your family. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And he goes into detail here. Notice this prayer. I will set no wicked thing, or this declaration, probably both, declaration, prayer. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. So he likens setting wicked things before our eyes, which we have access to now in this day of technology, this final hour before Christ returned, that the world has never had. But they still had the flesh and the old man to deal with and to overcome by the cross. So he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. So those that set wicked things before their eyes are turning aside. They're backslidden. They're not ready to meet Christ. There will be no person that is lusting after that which is evil. No whoremonger, a man that tries to satisfy his sexual desires on a woman he's not married to. See, marriage is reserved for the marriage bed. According to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, which says that the marriage bed, which is in the Greek speaking about the intimate relationship between a man and a woman, is undefiled. Everything outside of it between one man and one woman is perversion, corruption of the design and creativity of God, the will of God, and it will be punished. It's fornication. Fornication is a word that covers every deviance of sexual activity or thinking that is outside of the stated will of God, who created sex and all the joys of it to be experienced between one man and one woman in holy matrimony. Notice Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. See, God honors the marriage between one man and one woman. And the bed, that's the Greek word coitus, the intercourse, is undefiled. Amen. God created it for the pleasure and the blessing of men and women, one man and one woman in marriage. But whoremongers, and adulterers, God will judge. That speaks clearly for itself. Any man that is tickling the fancy or entertaining any kind of sex outside of that which God ordained to be between him and his wife, whether the wife he's married to now or the single man, the wife he will be married to and should be praying for and about now, any sex outside of that marriage covenant is sin. Verse 4, Psalm 101, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the Lamb, that they may dwell with me. That's God speaking now. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit, those that do things in darkness and somehow think that they're not going to reap where they sow, they are going to reap where they sow. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7-8. And the scripture also says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees your sin. God sees our sin if we're committing it. We can hide nothing from him. Proverbs 15:3, etc. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked out of the land, that I might cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord, and that would be the New Jerusalem. And he goes into detail, that I may cut off, eliminate, sever all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, in context here, verse 3 in the same psalm, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. So, you see, that right there is speaking in this last verse, I will just early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. The city of the Lord is the eternal dwelling place of God and his people, Revelation 21, and that's the New Jerusalem. And that is a city. It's coming down out of heaven, Revelation 21, and there will be no one included that is putting wicked things before their eyes. And notice the city of the Lord, this New Jerusalem, I mentioned Revelation 21. I want you to read that. Notice what he says in verse 8, 7 and 8. He that overcometh, and that would include any kind of fornication, Jesus said, those that look upon a woman to lust have already committed adultery in their hearts. And there are some who think that because nobody saw them do what they did in their lust in the depth of their heart, no man saw it, but God saw it, and they feel self-righteously emboldened to judge others who sin in the same way, in the general way of fornication, that they feel like they're at liberty, these self-righteous people, some of them I've found through the years, to judge others who actually acted on their lust. But God said, you've already committed adultery. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 5:28. If you've looked on a woman to lust, so no, you're not safe. You're going to be sorry, and you need to repent, because God sees it all, Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust, notice, to lust, after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now notice the way this is worded specifically. Did Jesus say that if you look on a woman and admire her beauty, you've lusted? No, he didn't. No. Let's just get something straight, guys. It's a natural attraction between a man and a woman, and women, God created them to be attracted to the masculine. We're attracted to the feminine. God set it all up that way, but we've polluted it and perverted it.
Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29 says, God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions or many ways to sin against their maker who made them upright. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 29.
Okay, that's what we're talking about, some of the nuts and bolts of this topic, which is addressed all the way through scripture. This is definitely not exhaustive, that goes without saying, but we're talking about it, and we're talking about the scriptures that address it, because God said he gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in his word. And so if you're wondering and grappling with sin, know that God has addressed it in his word, and he plans on and desires to give you the solution, which is always going to be coming out of that crucified life. You're not going to overcome sin outside of the cross, and that means you're saying with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Brother Jeremy was just talking about how fasting and prayer has helped him already so much. He hadn't been saved but about 6 months or so. You might recall he called up and found the website and called up, and we prayed. He surrendered his life and Jesus saved him. And you know, the same day that Jesus saved him, he sent me an email and said, Brother, I've been studying about and reading about fasting and prayer on safeguardyoursoul.com, and I want to know more about it, and I want to know, do you think that would help me? This guy wasn't even saved 6 hours, and he's asking about fasting and prayer. You see, that's where the Holy Spirit would be leading every one of us. Jesus didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. In the same Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 16 of Matthew, we just read in this same sermon, the same message, Jesus is saying, if we, you or I, beloved, look on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery already in his heart. Notice, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust, in other words, you looked on her in some other way other than that's God's creature. She's beautiful because he made her. No, you looked on her to lust after her. So that shows a evil and evil iniquitous disposition of your own heart that God wants to purify. Because you didn't look on her as a beautiful
creation
of God with God in mind, but you looked on her as an object of your own lust, which means you've got lust in your heart, and it's only the cross that's going to give you the victory through this, over this. And I can tell you that by personal experience, because there's nothing a man finds more beautiful in this world than a woman, a female. But when you're born again and you're a new creature in Christ, all things are new and all things are of God. And God requires that you live out your life in Christ as his ambassador with a pure heart. Again, Matthew 5, 8, again, it's in the same sermon or message of Jesus, the longest recorded message of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, where he says right in the beginning, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Any man who's lusting after a woman or women is a whoremonger. Your lust, I should say, your desire for women is to be expended on one woman. Now, if you're single and you don't have that woman, if you're unmarried, the Bible calls it, you need to be praying for her, and you need the cross in your life. We all do. We're not going to overcome outside the cross. That's God's way. Jesus said you're not following him unless you're doing it daily by self-denial, by the crucified life. And when you start to walk the way Jesus called you to walk, gentlemen, and all you ladies that couldn't resist listening to this message, you're going to start saying, wow, look at the victory Jesus is bringing. Oh yeah, you're going to say, ah, this is what was missing. It's the cross. It's at the centerpiece of the original gospel. But you're never going to hear it preached in the modern church, and I mean almost never. Brother, that's kind of condemning. Boy, I tell you what, I hope I'm wrong, but being saved for a while, as many of you have, you know this is the truth. You're rarely going to hear a message on the cross. And everything else in God's word, none of it is actually going to work until there's the cross as the, what I call the power generator of it. Well, you're dead and buried, you're liquidated, and Christ is raising you up in his power. And that's when there's victory over sin, and never before. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to become extremely familiar with this passage. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning of verse 10, notice, always bearing about in the body, that's daily, right? Jesus said you're serving him in self-denial daily. where you're crucified with Christ, dead and buried, and he's raising you up, Luke 9:23-24. And if you're not doing that, you're not following Jesus, period. Because you're either going to follow Jesus on his stated terms, or you're following another Jesus, the image of a false Christ, which you've allowed to be preached to you through false teachers, instead of studying God's word for yourself and getting it into you. God's word's not going to get into you and I unless we're getting into it. Talked to a brother yesterday, longtime friend in Christ. He is absolutely, as I am too, deliberate, intentioned, and militant that you don't leave the house until you got the word of God in you. You got in the word. You don't even breathe until the word of God is going through your eye gates into your spirit and soul and circumcising, tempering, and instilling God's grace and blessings in your heart. You can't fill and satisfy spiritual hunger outside of ingesting the food of the Lord, the word of God. That's the bread of life. As newborn babes, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word, the pure milk of the word. By the way, in our day, that would include using the real Bible, not a fake Bible, the King James Bible. You'll notice a big difference in your life. Study to show yourself approved, saints, unto God. You do it. So many people depend on a pastor to tell them what the word. What does that matter? How can you discern whether or not he's telling you the truth or not if you are not in the word of God? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. You do it. A workman, it takes work. It's the most rewarding work there'll ever be in your life. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Paul says here, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, don't you love that, might be made manifest in our body. How many people listening to me right now want the life of Jesus Christ manifesting in their life, in and through them? Wow, what a blessing. Are you coveting more of him? Are you crying with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, Jesus, but I must decrease? Hallelujah. You got to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. That's what fasting and prayer is about. It is the cross. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. I believe he's talking about external persecutions coming against you, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. Those persecutions and slanders and all these things that you endure as a child of God only move you closer to him. Hallelujah. Then he finishes by saying, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Somebody listening to me has been praying that God will use you. And this is how it works. It works through the cross life where you're dead and buried. And Christ is raised up in and through you. As death works in you, his life is going to work through you to others. And this is the only way to overcome. If you're sitting still, you're backslidden, you're lukewarm, you will never overcome. You must be deliberate about serving God. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Also 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Have you sentenced yourself to death? Think about that. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why do you need to sentence yourself to death? Well, Paul said it also in Romans 7:18. There is no good thing that dwelleth in me, that is, in my flesh. There's nothing good about you or me. There is none good, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Notice verse 24 also in Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You've got to recognize that there's nothing good in you, that is the old man that's still there, that God requires that you put off, and that happens through the cross life that he prescribed, and you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4 gives us greater insight, beginning in verse 21 through 25. What a blessed passage. Okay, so he says here, 2 Corinthians 1:9. By the way, all of these verses are memory verses, and that's how you incorporate into your personal life the wisdom of God, beloved. You begin to memorize the word of God. You don't run from the harsh truths of God. You run to them. You don't run from them. That's what cowards and counterfeits do. That's what these little once saved, always saved, whining pansies do. We don't do that, gentlemen. We're men of the Word of God, and we allow it to slay us down to nothing, that Christ might raise us up and we might be conformed to His holy image. Amen. Jesus conquered death and sin and Satan by dying. Hebrews 2:14, become familiar with that verse. And that's the way He prescribed, and the only way you can conquer sin and Satan and death is by dying. You got to go down deep into the death of Christ. God's not going to raise up anyone who's not first dead and buried. 2 Corinthians 1:9, and that, by the way, we're talking about lust, and this is at the heart of, you're not going to overcome lust. You can get 15 or 20 so-called accountability partners, and you're not going to overcome lust. You've got a Bible. Why would you get an accountability partner? Why not just obey God's word and lay down your life and live a crucified life? So do we need an accountability partner, or do we need to truly repent, to get right with God in our hearts, to have a come to Jesus message afresh, deny self and take up the cross and follow Him? Well, the answer is obvious. Did Jesus or His apostles ever mention an accountability partnership? No, especially not in the way we see that today. And I know men that are involved in that, and they're still not overcoming the sin. Ridiculous. You didn't need that ministry or that idea of an accountability partner. You needed to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You see, that's like saying, you know, to a woman, look, a guy says to a woman, we're engaged and I want to marry you in the future, but for now, I'm going to go away and play around with other women, right? Wrong. See, that's the heart of an adulterous, whoremongering man who isn't one with Christ, who isn't crying out to abide in Christ, to be one with Him, John 17, John 15, and to be crucified with Him. So he has a divided heart, an adulterous, whoremongering heart. Now, who does that sound like? You know, this guy that wants to be engaged to a woman, but wants to go play around. This sounds like a spiritually adulterous whoremonger who only wants Jesus to save him from hell and the reproach of sin, but doesn't want to know and to walk with the great bridegroom. Just like 5 of the 10 virgins unto whom the kingdom of God was likened in Jesus' parable, Matthew 25:1-13, 5 of them got engaged to the bridegroom, and they wanted to do their own thing, and they were shut out of the eternal kingdom of God. And so will every whoremonger and every adulterer, every fornicator. Revelation 21:8, which I meant to read earlier, where they're going to be cut out, these classes of sinners he named specifically in Revelation 21:8. They're going to be cut out of the city, cut off from the city of God. In other words, the eternal presence and blessing of heaven, or the new Jerusalem and being with Jesus. They shall not be included. Revelation 21:8. Okay, those are soul damning sins, and they clearly indicate that you're not in an abiding relationship with Christ. It's one thing to get saved. It's another thing to stay saved and to remain in Christ. The scripture tells us about initial and final salvation. Romans 8:1, you got to read the King James, because most of the new fake Bibles have cut this verse in half. Go look at it for yourself.
Romans 8:1, comparing the King James Bible and the modern Bibles, which were taken from the corrupted manuscripts.
Which is, it says this, Romans 8:1 says that we have to be in Christ, first of all, and we've got to stay in Christ, or remain in abiding relationship where we're walking in the Spirit. Notice, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to who? Who's he going to tell us here that is not under the condemnation of God? I want to know, don't you? There is therefore now no condemnation to, number one, them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you born again? If you've been born again, then you're in Christ. That is, if you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice, you're only outside of the condemnation of God when you are in Christ, you're born again, and you're walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Later in this
chapter,
verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you live after sin, you lust after women in your heart, or any type of fornication. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Death, die means separation from God, who is holy, holy, holy. He's talking to believers here. Once saved, always saved is a lie from hell. Eternal security, perseverance of the saints is the first doctrine taught by Satan, which led to the fall of man. And if you believe those heresies, you're not a man of truth. You didn't get those from the Bible, because the Bible exposes them as the first lie of Satan, and that which is turning the saving grace of our God into lasciviousness, or a license for sin. Never compromise with sin. Never. Notice, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, through the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I want you to memorize that verse. Notice, we're not alone. But if ye through the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So the Holy Spirit is working in your life to raise you up and to help you even to be crucified with Christ. Notice, I began to read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. See, God's going to raise you up as you sentence yourself to death. And let's get back to our lust topic so that we can come in for a landing here in this message. There's so much to be addressed here, folks, brothers. Notice Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. We've all been around lustful women. And lust is a matter of the heart, not sex, not male or female. So notice, to keep thee, verse 24, from the evil woman, that is the word of God, verse 23. Let's read those. Let's start reading verse 23. Basically, Proverbs chapter 5 through 10 speak a lot about the whorish woman, gentlemen, and overcoming. That's Proverbs chapter 5 through 10. I want you to read those passages, those chapters. For the commandment, verse 23, chapter 6, Proverbs, for the commandment, that's the word of God, is a lamp. And what happens when you shine a lamp or light into a dark heart? It expels darkness. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law, that's the word of God also, is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, sometimes we get corrected, and we got to realize that the Lord loves us, and whom the Lord loves, he chastens, Proverbs 3:12, Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 12. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens.
The reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
As long as we're on earth, we're going to be corrected. We're going to continue to be corrected. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So is he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Then it talks about after that the rage of the husband who's been betrayed. We are to never flirt with, much less anything else, with any woman that is married. If you think a woman's attractive, perhaps the first thing you should do, beloved, is look at her ring finger. And ladies, if you're listening, please wear your ring, ladies. And I would ask, is it making a statement that you're not wearing your ring and you're married? All right, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which speaks all about fornication. Okay, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. What does that mean? Concupiscence means the secret desire for that which is forbidden, not in the lust that comes in the heart. Remember, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, or those without God, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That would refer to a man who lusts after or does something else sexually toward a married woman. See, Jesus said we live in a generation that is a wicked and adulterous generation. I believe it's Matthew 12:39. We live in a very, have you noticed? We live in such an adulterous generation of people that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. God will judge you if you do such, or you dare to do such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. In other words, God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome all sin, and he will judge us. You despise him when you despise his word. And his word says that we are not to commit adultery with another man's wife. That's not your wife, sir. That's another man's wife. Okay, Proverbs chapter 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, verse 10, for her price is far above rubies. Father, we pray for all the men who are unmarried and desire to be married, that are listening right now, Lord, that you would bless them with a virtuous woman, for her price is above rubies. Amen. Chapter 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The real beauty of a woman that the Lord places in women that are his virtuous women is their heart. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. That is, compared to the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So to the unmarried gentlemen, men of God, I would encourage you to step back and discern, does this woman that you find attractive, and that's good, you better find women attractive, but keep it in context as we're talking here. Let's say you're attracted to a woman. I would encourage you as your brother in Christ to make sure this woman fears the Lord. God doesn't want to give you a churchgoer. He wants you to have and to bless you with a woman that fears him, a woman with a heart after God. Now, we're going to go ahead and close this message. This is very impartial. The Bible has so much to say about these things and in the wisdom of God presented to us from Genesis to Revelation. Remember, it takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. So study to show yourself approved on this topic and all others addressed in Scripture, beloved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would purify our hearts. You would create in us, Lord, a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us, Lord. Search us, O God, and know us well. For see if there be any wicked way in us, God. Remove those things, as David prayed, Lord. Search us, know our hearts. Try us, know our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and deliver us, Lord. Lead us not into the way of evil, but lead us into the way everlasting in holiness. Set us apart unto yourself, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, I want to encourage you to avail yourself to the resources on the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com. Those are all scripture-rich, Christ-centered resources to help you grow in the grace of God in Christ our Lord. And thank you so much to those who are supporting this outreach, which is reaching thousands of people daily with the word of our Lord as we look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maranatha. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being read reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.